We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard Your Take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
This is the First Take Your Take podcast. I'm Jason Fitz, and we're starting today as we now start every hour, every day, with My Take. It's the most important thing I can tell you. Get out there and find information. I said on the show several times today to check out today's episode of ESPN Daily. Why? Because I think there was actual, real learning opportunities. There are real things that we need to know. There are important things about how coronavirus is moving forward, how it spread, and ultimately what it means to your future. There are debates to be had by certain people that love it about whether or not this is real or whether we're overhyping it or whether it's all a conspiracy theory. Those debates are for another place, another person, and another time. My job right now, right through this moment, is to try and figure out how to help us all navigate incredibly difficult waters. Waters that may not include sports, may not include songs, may not include movies, may not include any of the entertainment you've learned to love, not just for days, not just for weeks, but possibly for months. This is a real moment for sports fans, and we've got to find some way to come together. Even though everybody wants to stick to sports world, we've got to find a way to come together now that this is impacting the sports that you love so much. We've got to find a way to come together and get real information. I will stress it until I am blue in the face. Don't take anybody's word for anything. Go out and read. Read for yourself. Form your own opinions based on as many educated articles as you can read and as many educated people as you can hear from. Hopefully today, through the course of this show, this podcast, you'll learn a little something, because I know I have. And I know that that knowledge helps me understand exactly what we're dealing with and the exact ramifications it will have for my favorite sports, my favorite leagues, my favorite teams, not just today, but for the coming months. Time out for First Take Your Take, the podcast. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN News, and ESPN 2. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and it's just every time we come back from break, I'm going to say this. We have breaking news. We have more impact from the coronavirus. As we now know, this is important. Duke has suspended all athletics indefinitely. Now, we've heard some concept of this in the past, but I have to remind everybody, Duke has suspended all athletics indefinitely. As Field Yates points out on Twitter, if there's an NCAA tournament, Duke will not take part in it. So even if the NCAA doesn't cancel, we're now seeing schools sort of affect their own destiny and take their own path into their own hands. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we have a bunch of people joining us over the course of this show on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. You can tweet me at Jason Fitz. But what we're trying to give you is the best and latest information on how coronavirus specifically impacts sports, the way you consume those sports, and what the lasting effect could be. All of this comes because today was another layer, right? Last night we saw the NBA postpone their season in what felt like an eerie, shocking moment, right? We all felt that and said, man, feels like the sports world's different in this moment. We had that "where were you when" moment last night in the NBA. Well, today, 13 different conferences across the landscape of college basketball have canceled their tournaments for their conference tournament in basketball. So this is ACC Commissioner John Swofford announcing the cancellation of the ACC basketball tournament.
After a recent discussion of about 15 minutes ago with our presidents and athletics directors again, the league has made a decision to end this year's Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball tournament as of today.
I cannot be more clear for anyone that decides they want to tweet me. I'm not here to have a conversation about whether this is a big deal, whether it's not a big deal. Not here to have that conversation with you at all. And frankly, above and beyond that, the conversation that we need to have is, no matter what you think about that issue, sports you watch are being consumed differently today because of the coronavirus. That's what we're here to talk about. Also, along the way, I'm going to at least get you the information I'm being given by people smarter than me on how we can look for this, what's happening, and what it means. Speaking of people smarter than me, ESPN college basketball reporter Myron Metcalf joins us now on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. Myron, I love talking to you. I wish we were talking about happier things, but what's your reaction today to 13 conferences canceling their conference tournament?
It's the domino effect that's going to lead to the cancellation of the NCAA tournament, and I'm actually not surprised. It felt like we were headed in this direction. You mentioned that Duke has suspended all athletic competition. That's very important, Jason, because Kevin White is the chair of the men's basketball selection committee. So the chair of the selection committee's school will not be participating if there's an NCAA tournament. I think that means we're not going to have a tournament. Kansas also just announced they suspended all athletic competition, no travel for athletic competition. Kansas would have been the number one overall seed. They're not participating. It feels like it's just a matter of time, maybe even minutes, before the NCAA announces that this is over. I have the same reaction that everyone else has had. This is wild. It's amazing, and it's going to take us a while to process everything, but certainly looks like we won't have any NCAA tournament.
Well, for seniors, and I'm going to go back to, as somebody that's watched a lot of college basketball this year, I keep thinking of Cassius Winston from Michigan State, who's had absolutely a heartbreaking year with the suicide of his brother. He goes through all of this. He perseveres. He's in his senior year, his moment with Michigan State. For somebody like that, does the NCAA now have to consider some sort of a waiver that will allow them to come back and play should they choose to?
I think that's a valid question. I think it's one of those questions that the NCAA will have to answer at some point. Now, the question will be, is it canceled or is it postponed? The good thing about the NCAA season is you still have a couple more months in the school year if you wanted to postpone. But I think waivers, eligibility, all of that stuff is going to be very important. But I do feel like not just the NBA canceling, but the fact that Rudy Gobert and now Donovan Mitchell contracted coronavirus, I think that made it very real and tangible for athletes across all sports. So I think first things will get canceled, and then we'll figure out the fallout from there.
Well, and to that point, Myron, you make a great point. I mean, close proximity is part of the way this is spread, and you're talking about a bunch of guys on a basketball court that don't know each other. They don't know who everybody's been in contact with. I mean, this is sort of, if you're a college basketball player, even if they try to have the tournament, why would you want to put yourself at risk?
Well, yesterday, a bunch of coaches I talked to said, let's go, Bill Self. I said, have you ever seen anything like this? Bill Self, head coach of Kansas, said, yeah, no, I've never seen this, but let's roll with it. We got to keep going, you know? So I think that was the attitude of a lot of coaches when they thought the tournament would be played without fans in the stands. But I do feel like, Jason, this is an evolving thing. And 24 hours ago feels like a year ago. This thing keeps changing. And now it seems like they're all realizing that it's best if everybody stays home.
So what should the approach at this point for the NCAA be? I mean, what's their first step in canceling the tournament?
They've got to make that declaration soon. And then from there, I think it becomes a matter of, is everything canceled for good? Are you going to reevaluate here in a couple of weeks and postpone maybe for April or May? So that becomes the question. And I'm not sure how they can even know that, considering how this thing is growing and evolving. But I think the first immediate step is, listen, we may have made a mistake when we said we were just going to host a tournament without fans. We should have gone a step further. We're going to do that today and cancel the NCAA tournament.
Is there any logic for the NCAA to wait until local governments make a decision on how they want gatherings handled?
If they want to look foolish, sure. Yeah, I mean, if you want to be the last group to do it, you can do it, but you only face more criticism. But for me, it feels like if the NBA is saying no go, everybody should follow that. This is the NBA. If they're canceling things, everybody else should cancel things as well. So I don't think there's any logic in anything that isn't cancellation or at a minimum postponed.
Yeah, I mean, and Myron, that's a great point. When you think about what happens the minute the NBA cancels it, it creates, I hate to use the word liability in a litigious society, but now every other league has to look at it and say, do we want to be the one sport that continues to play? Because God forbid something happens. Now, you know, anybody that's affected would have, you could be looking at class action lawsuits for putting people in danger. So did the NBA, by simply canceling or postponing, I should say, their season, actually create a domino effect no matter what?
I think they absolutely did. And here's the advantage that the NBA has. Those players have a union that represents them. College basketball players don't have any of that. So how do you sift through all the potential liability and legal issues? I don't think you can if you're the NCAA. And if some kid goes to a game and contracts this, what does that mean for the NCAA? So it just doesn't seem like it was ever worth the risk. Cancel it now. Figure out the other stuff later.
You can follow him on Twitter at Metcalf by ESPN. Myron, you know I love your work. Nobody covers college basketball better for us. I really appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, brother.
I mean, you start to talk about what this means, and it's the domino effect that's real here. I don't want to sit here and pretend that we, you know, everything's about lawsuits, but there is some sort of limited liability. Let me be a cynic for a minute and say, I think this would be a lot easier for tournaments to just be canceled if people weren't worried about the money, right? Like, the money has to play into the conversation. So if we're going to acknowledge that the money plays into the conversation in keeping things going, then we also have to acknowledge at some point that the money plays into the conversation from the other side of it. Do you want to be the one league that let people in? And by being the one league that let people in, you opened yourself up to class action. That's the real possibility here. I'm going to tell you again, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. This is what we tell you every day. We bring you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. I hosted it. All right. I hosted it in the wee hours of the morning. I hosted it with somebody that is just substantially more intelligent than I am with all of this. Tisha Thompson, ESPN investigative reporter, by the way, the Daily presented by ADT. You talk about somebody that can give you the breakdown. They're important nuggets I need you to know. All right. A lot of people think coronavirus has existed for a long time. Coronavirus is a general term. So I want to make sure people understand that we're using a general term for a specific illness, COVID-19, as says on the CDC website, a novel coronavirus is a new coronavirus that has not been previously identified. The virus causing coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, is not the same as the coronaviruses that commonly circulate among humans and cause mild illnesses like the common cold. So you've heard of things like SARS before. SARS was also a coronavirus. So we're using a general term for a specific thing. That's important here because what we also know is anybody can catch it. All right. Just because you hear at risk doesn't mean anybody can't catch it. So at risk is talking about at risk for mortality rate. It's important distinctions that you need to know. In the meantime, we haven't had a lot of conversation about the NFL yet because they're not playing right now. But Adam Schefter did point out that coronavirus is specifically affecting the NFL when he joined Max and Stephen A. on First Take.
I would imagine we're going to hear the NFL address its upcoming annual owners meetings in Florida in a couple of weeks. It's hard to imagine that they're going to allow older people in a group setting to travel to Florida here in a couple of weeks. There's been no announcement because really there's no urgency as there is in the NBA right now. But the NBA was out front in this. It obviously made a huge statement. It looks great in doing that. And the NFL so far has been very quiet. But let me tell you what's going on behind the scenes. I think there are teams right now discussing whether or not to shut their training facilities. The Washington Redskins moments ago announced that their coaches and scouts no longer will be allowed to travel to pro days of college prospects. So that's now out the window for the Washington Redskins, and you could be sure that there'll be other teams that follow along. Again, we're waiting to hear from the NFL on the owners' meetings. We're waiting to hear from the NFL on the NFL draft, which it's discussed various options at this point in time. But you can't imagine being in Las Vegas in front of crowds of people, hundreds of thousands of people, as the league has done in previous years with the draft. That's illogical to think about. We are entering a new era here. Now, the other business at hand is the NFL new league year that is scheduled to begin next week on Wednesday at 4 Eastern when teams are allowed to make moves. Now, again, this is not confirmed, but speculative. I'm hearing there is some discussion about potentially moving back the start of the league year. Now, the league has been very firm this week, up until now, that the league year will start Wednesday, 4 o'clock. But as we see all this news trickle in, as we see the NBA move to the forefront at the head of leading the charge here and showing real leadership, it's hard to imagine that the NFL is going to allow business to go on as usual next week with players signing millions of dollars worth of contracts and press conferences and teams' facilities being shut. It just doesn't go together. And so we're waiting to hear something from the NFL, which has been quiet up until now, about how it's going to handle everything in regards to the league year that starts next week and the owners' meetings that are coming up in a couple of weeks.
Adam Schefter, appreciate you, man. Forgive me for going in this direction, but I'm just curious about it, so I must ask you. There's a collective bargaining negotiation, yep, that's going on as we speak. And we know the friction that has existed. I'm talking about internally with the Players Association. You got a lot of guys out there that don't agree with the proposal. They don't agree with Executive Director DeMaurice Smith's position. Players at meetings, from what I told Monday, went in on the executive director really, really trying to neutralize what he was trying to bring to their attention. There's a lot of dissension within the ranks of the NFLPA. What kind of effect do you believe this virus can potentially have on these CBA negotiations.
Well, I would say this, Stephen A. Who believes or who feels more comfortable economically today than they did 1 or 2 weeks ago? There's nobody that could feel that way. That means the owners. That means the players. That means owners feel probably shaky about the deal. That means players probably have to look at this and say, are we going to get as good a deal when the market right now is tanking and it's hemorrhaging money at this point in time? So a lot of the votes have already been cast. So that's also interesting. I don't know how many ballots are still out there that have not been filled out, but there's still been encouragement for all players to get out and vote, whether you're for the CBA or against the CBA. But it's hard to think. We are living in a different era right now. We have not seen anything like this in our lifetimes. So I don't know if everybody's fully grasping the full scope of this as they factor that into the vote on the collective bargaining agreement, as insignificant as something like that now seems.
Adam, I can't help but to think the NFL lucked out here in a way from the reputable sources that I've read. Predictions, and these are just predictions because a lot is unknown about the coronavirus, are it will get much worse before it gets better. And people are saying 2 to 3 months seems to be the horizon that they're looking. The NFL season doesn't start till September. I mean, they have time to get it together. What in terms of the timetable does this actually affect if we're sitting down for regular season games and here's opening day or kickoff?
Right. Well, Max, there was one team I spoke to this morning, right, that was in touch with its medical staff and going over the various scenarios of the doctor. And let me be very clear. Again, the doctors know a lot more than we do. I'm just passing on what was told in that team's training facility. And this doctor said that if teams evacuate and everybody goes home and everybody's quarantined and everybody's on their own for a couple of weeks and we can figure out how to get the testing done and we can figure out who has the virus and who doesn't have the virus and what measures we should and shouldn't be taking, this belief of this particular team doctor was that we could help control it as best as we can. But if the proper steps aren't taken in the coming days, that this could obviously be a disaster. And we're already beginning to see hints of that right now. And who knows if we're already too late? None of us know these answers. I'm just passing along what one doctor said. They believe that if, again, the proper steps are taken now, it will go a long way towards helping the situation and not having it be as significant later on. So as that relates to the NFL season, you're right. If our country can get a hold of this and rein it in and keep it manageable, then yes, you would think the NFL season is down the line as that seems, as insignificant as that seems, might be okay.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. And, you know, the NFL season might be okay, but many other seasons are not. We've been breaking the news as it comes down the pipeline today of different leagues that are affected. And we'll now get some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless by going over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where ESPN NHL reporter Emily Kaplan joins us. The NHL has suspended its season as reported by Emily. Emily, thanks for some time on some short notice. How did they come to this decision?
Well, the writing was clearly on the wall, especially last night after the NBA announced that they were going to suspend their season. There's a lot of overlap between the NHL and NBA, especially in the buildings that they play in. We got some hints of it this morning when the NHL told teams to cancel their morning skates, cancel their practices, cancel any team meetings that they had. And then the NHL had a phone call with their board of governors, which was essentially their owners, today at 1 p.m. Eastern. Gary Bettman, the commissioner, essentially recommended this is the path that they should take. And I was told there was not much resistance on that call.
Emily, you mentioned that the NBA obviously shares some arenas and made their decision last night. Before the NBA had made that decision, was the NHL already leading this way?
I'm not so sure. You know, what's crazy is how quickly this has all transpired. I was at the NHL GM meetings March 2nd through 4th in Boca Raton, and I was asking NHL officials, you know, what they were going to do. And they're like, we're looking into contingency plans, like, you know, for example, playing in empty arenas or postponing the season. But I don't think we'd have to do anything that dramatic, knock on wood. Well, clearly they had to do something that dramatic. Things really did escalate, though, with this situation with the NBA, with two players on the Utah Jazz testing positive. The Jazz, since March 4th, have played in three different buildings, Madison Square Garden, TD Garden, and Little Caesars Arena, that all also host NHL teams as well. So as we know how communicable and easily transferable this disease is, that obviously raised concern.
We're talking to ESPN NHL reporter Emily Kaplan on the Shell Penzo Performance Line on the heels of the news that the NHL has suspended their season. Obviously, I understand there are Canadian teams in the NBA also. Toronto, I'm not taking anything away from them. But let's acknowledge the fact that Canada plays a big part in the NHL. So how much was international sort of need and necessity a part of the decision here?
I certainly think it was. You know, the NHL stance has been we're going to rely on local health officials and the two health authorities, CDC and Public Health Canada. You know, there are outbreaks in Canada as well. I think there's probably some concern about going across the borders, even though NHL teams do travel privately. But really what we were getting down to is the NHL was preparing for situations already where there was going to be no fans in the arena. Columbus, Ohio banned large gatherings. So did Santa Clara County with the San Jose Sharks games. And that was going to start to be the new precedent. So I think that was also an issue, just what the local communities were recommending for their specific teams.
Keep up with every single piece of the news on by following on Twitter at Emily M. Kaplan. Emily, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Fit.
That's the Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less only at Walmart. Again, Major League Baseball has suspended operations, and that's expected to go into place as soon as today. That's according to Jeff Passan. He broke that earlier on SportsCenter. Emily Kaplan letting you know, our ESPN NHL reporter, that the NHL is suspending their season. 13 different college basketball conferences have canceled their conference tournaments. But most importantly, the breaking news we've had in the last few minutes, Myra Metcalf joined us a minute ago to help us break this down also. Duke and Kansas have both suspended all athletics, meaning even if there is an NCAA tournament, Duke and Kansas will not take part in it. So we'll see what that means for the decision that we would expect to come sooner than later as we figure out what's next. Coming up next, more updates on coronavirus. Plus, we're going to talk to an infectious disease specialist that can help us figure out how this is impacting the sports world and what it means next. We'll do all of that, but first, we do have to look forward to summer. It's difficult to do, but in these moments, we have to look forward to summer. When summer comes, you want a beautiful lawn this season. The Home Depot has a few suggestions all in one bag. Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action, starting at just $26.68. Feed your lawn, it weeds your lawn, and it prevents fire ants for up to 6 months. Three of the most common lawn problems, all with one great solution. It's a good time to be a doer at the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com/outdoors for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. We'll find out what's next from an expert that would know. That's next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. If the NCAA decides they're going to hold a tournament to decide their national champion, they'll be doing it without at least two of the biggest brands in college basketball. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. We're also with you on ESPN News. And today on ESPN2 also, I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And we've got a bunch of guests. We've had a bunch of guests. They're all on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Don't forget, wake up to double the good stuff this morning. Get more out of breakfast. Start your day with two-for-$4 breakfast sandwiches only at McDonald's during breakfast hours. Price and participation vary. Now, participation is varying across the world of sports at this point. We know that the NHL has suspended its season, as reported by Emily Kaplan. We know that Major League Baseball is expected to suspend all operations as soon as today. We know that Duke and Kansas have just announced they're shutting down all sports. So even if there's an NCAA tournament, they will not be part of it. We know NASCAR will hold their next two races without any fans in attendance. And today, of course, we've seen 13 different college basketball tournaments canceled because of the spread of coronavirus. I've said it repeatedly. I'll say it again. I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to be a doctor. I'm here to make sure that you know how this all impacts your life as a sports fan. That's the best thing I can do right now, is let you know what the lasting impact to it is and what it means. Again, I'll go back to things that I learned in hosting The Daily over the last 24 hours, and I'll tell you that things you need to know is you hear at risk. At risk means at risk for mortality, which when you hear, it's typically people that are older that are at risk, or people with immune issues that are at risk. That means at risk for mortality, not just at risk to catch it. Anybody can have coronavirus. It's an important distinction. Also, you should know that because of the way the disease works in your body, I've learned that you can actually test negative for it. You don't have it when you do have it, because it takes time to build up into the system to the point that you would have a positive test. That's why, importantly, they can't just quarantine all the NBA players, test them all, and say, let's go. It's not that simple, because they could test negative and still be positive. So this all takes time, and it also takes information. I will stress to you, whatever you want to learn about coronavirus, go out and learn it, read it, find it. Find it from sources you trust. Find the information you need to know. And I will again remind everybody, a common misconception is that this is not new. Remember, A novel coronavirus is a new coronavirus that has not been previously identified. This is from the CDC directly. The virus causing coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, is not the same as the coronaviruses that commonly circulate amongst humans and cause mild illness like the common cold. Things like SARS that you've heard of in the past. Those are also coronaviruses. Coronavirus is a general term. COVID-19 is a specific term. Part of the reason the elderly are struggling with this is because it is new. And the body doesn't know how to break it down. So it takes time to figure out how to do that. And that's part of the reason it's affecting it. I've learned a lot of this from hosting ESPN Daily last night. I was able to talk to Tisha Thompson, ESPN investigative reporter. I stress, go check out the Daily. It's about 20 minutes. It will give you a lot of information and it will end a lot of the yeah, buts that you've been asking yourself. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. Why don't we talk about this? And why don't we talk about that? So now I'm not a doctor. So we figured the best thing we could do is try and get one to come in and help us, especially a brilliant one. Dr. Celine Gounder, internist, infectious disease specialist, and epidemiologist, host of the podcast Epidemic and American Diagnosis, joins us now on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. Dr. Gounder, thanks for your time. Why is this so severe?
So, you know, there's been a lot of debate about whether to call coronavirus an epidemic or a pandemic. And I think finally people have come around to saying this is a pandemic. So what is a pandemic? It's a novel virus to which people have not previously been exposed, to which they have no immunity. It is spreading rapidly across continents and in communities. And the reason we're really concerned is there are certain populations that are at higher risk for severe disease and death. That includes the elderly. We start to see an increase in risk after the age of 50, but especially after the age of 70, and also people with chronic medical illnesses. So we're not talking about high blood pressure or high cholesterol here. We're talking about organ disease like lung disease, heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease. We're talking about people who have cancer, being treated for cancer, people with autoimmune conditions, everything from lupus to Crohn's disease. And other immunosuppressive illnesses. So those are the people who are at highest risk for severe disease. And there's actually one other, and this is a big part of what we're so worried about, is that healthcare workers are very much at risk here. And you're going to hear this expression, flattening the curve, if you haven't already. What that means is that we're trying to reduce the number of patients who come into healthcare facilities seeking healthcare services. We want to stretch that out over time. So even if eventually, I don't know, anywhere from 40 to 70% of the population may eventually be infected, but if you can make sure that happens over a longer period of time, that'll reduce the risk and help us manage the demand for help. So think about it this way. If you have 100 people who come into the ER in 1 hour, that's very different from 100 people coming into the ER in 1 day or 1 week. And having too many people coming into health facilities needing help, that leads to a few problems. One, it's crowded, which means that you're more likely to have infection spread within those facilities. And two, it means waiting times will go up. And so it's not just patients with coronavirus who are going to suffer. If you have a heart attack or a stroke and you come in, we say time is muscle or time is brain, which means that if you're attended to, you know, more slowly, that could have real consequences for your health. So these are the reasons we're quite concerned about this. And this is, to be clear, this is not the flu. This is probably in the range of 5 to 10 times as bad as the flu in terms of numbers of deaths. And so, you know, a typical flu season in the United States, we have about 50 to 60,000 people die per year. This would be 5 to 10 times that much. So you're talking about, you know, 250 to 500,000 people dying. That's not a small number of people.
So one of the big things that sort of caught the internet on fire last night for sports fans was that Rudy Gobert contacts that he has now tested positive for coronavirus. That surprised a lot of people because they just didn't think he was at risk. I want to make sure that we're very clear here. Everybody's at risk to actually catch it at some point, correct?
That is correct. And, you know, it's funny because if you think about who got this disease earliest, it was businessmen traveling to China for work. People taking luxury cruise lines. So this is not about, you know, your social class or your race or anything like that. Anybody can get it. Now, my concern also, though, is as this evolves, Will poorer people who have more difficulty accessing health services, who may not be able to take time off work, may not have insurance, et cetera, will they suffer more as a result of this? I'm sure that will be the case. But everybody is equally susceptible, for sure.
Well, one of the viral moments that's taken the world by storm is Rudy Gobert wiping his hands on reporters' microphones when he was asked about it. It was sort of a flippant, funny moment to him in that moment. Now he has coronavirus. So I'll have to ask you two questions here. One, is that a way he could have contacted it? And two, could he have spread it through that path?
Yes, certainly. If you think about it, when somebody speaks into a microphone, it's getting close to their mouth. This is a droplet spread, not airborne, droplet spread disease. So it's the droplets that come out of your mouth and your nose when you talk, when you sneeze, when you cough. So I'm sure those microphones, if that has been put in someone's face or been handled by someone who has coronavirus, that microphone could be contaminated. So this is why we keep saying wash your hands, because it's on surfaces of things. It's on people's hands. That's where this virus likes to hang out. And that's what we need to control.
Dr. Gowner, now that we know that he has it, and also that Donovan Mitchell has it, what's the sort of recovery process? How long does it take for him before he's free and clear to be back amongst people in normal activities?
Well, some of this is going to be monitoring symptoms, make sure, he's getting better. We have been, at least in some countries, doing repeat testing at the end of the illness to make sure people are negative. The problem with the test that we use is it's really designed to pick up RNA, which is sort of like DNA of the virus. And just like, if you're trying to investigate a crime scene, you can find somebody's DNA even if they're not there anymore. It's the same thing with the virus. So they could potentially test positive after they've recovered, even though there's no more infectious virus around. So unfortunately, the tests are not very good for telling us, okay, this person is now safe to go back out into the community to be around others. And so I think it really needs to be a combination of, maybe that 14-day time range, making sure they've gotten better in terms of symptoms, fever, and respiratory symptoms. And then maybe still using those tests, but we just don't have a great answer still.
Dr. Gowner, quickly before we let you go, everybody right now is looking at the sports landscape and they're trying to figure out how long this all goes on. If you're in your expert opinion, where are we in the process of this entire outbreak and how it's affecting America specifically?
Well, I think it depends on how rigorously we're able to shut things down, lock things down. So the more we're able to do so now, the less time potentially we have to prolong this. If we're really, really rigorous about it, maybe, 8 weeks. But this is such a new virus that we don't know a lot about still. And so we're kind of going by the seat of our pants and learning on the fly here.
I keep telling you guys, I'm not a doctor. That's why we have her on. Follow her on Twitter at Celine Gowner. Also, you can check her out. The podcast is Epidemic and American Diagnosis, both of those podcasts. As an internist and infectious disease specialist, we really appreciate your expertise on this. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely. Take care.
This is the sort of information I keep stressing. We need info, right? That's what I'm here to do, is give you all info on how this is going to impact your life in sports and the sports that you watch, the entertainment you watch, what it means moving forward. We're going to keep breaking all of that down, as you need to know what it means next going forward for you guys. Plus, we'll get an insight a little bit on what it could mean moving forward for Vegas. We're going to do all of that next, but we start with some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with no holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best network, same as big carriers, but for a lot less. It's just $45 a month, and it gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. So no contract, full court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We'll get the straight talk from an expert on what all of this means for Vegas next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, ESPN2. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of the show, it's on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Capital One, you can open a new checkings or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA, member FDIC. If you're just tuning in, go listen to it. In the second hour, we have a specialist that can give you medical information you need. Speaking of specialists, we're going to hop right over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line. ESPN sports betting analyst, host of Daily Wager, Doug Kazarian joins us. Doug, this was a last-second reach. I had to ask you, what effect does all of this have on Vegas and the sports books?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Obviously, it is all of this takes a backseat to the medical situation, but sports books are going to take a hit. All of them that I've talked to have just obviously voiced that they understand the decisions. But just so people understand, next Friday, so the Friday of the opening round of the NCAA tournament is the second biggest sporting day in terms of sports betting day, according to one book that has a bunch of operations, behind only the Super Bowl. So there's tons of revenue for the Las Vegas Visitors Authority and just sports books across the state, because we now have 16 states now, with two more joining the party this week. So this weekend, significant, the entire tournament, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But this is obviously a setback. They've changed schedules that they had. We're planning extra staffing for this weekend and the coming weekends. But again, it's all sort of understood, but it's definitely, there's a domino effect for this business as well.
Well, absolutely, and I agree it's understood. We all know it's important, but I'll go back to South by Southwest, which canceled and then had to lay off 58 employees because they couldn't keep the doors open. Is there a worry or concern about long-term effect to Vegas overall from something like this?
No, like I said, they're going to tweak the schedules, but the thing is let's say the NBA and NHL just delay things or resume this summer, then the budget and the staffing will kind of be just delayed. So normally a quiet period in the summer may be a boom. So in July, which is supposedly really slow, especially around the Major League Baseball All-Star break, maybe it's the NBA Finals, right? We just don't know. But it's certainly interesting to see how it could all be handled. But for now, no layoffs or anything like that. It's a wait-and-see approach. Remember, the tournament has not been postponed or canceled yet. It's only the short term. I mean, we had spring training games today. There's even some women's basketball going on right now in their tournament, in some conferences. So it's just a wait and see approach right now, but everything's just going to be different, and that's okay because the entire world is adjusting.
Follow him on Twitter at Doug ESPN. Doug, we really appreciate you jumping on and giving us the insight. Check out the Daily Wager as always. Doug, thanks for coming on, my friend. What we've tried to do over the course of the last 2 hours is give you information. And this is what I can't stress enough. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. None of that interests me. My interest is this. This is the reality we're now in. The reality we're now in, that seeing movies being canceled, seeing entire tours in music being canceled, and seeing the sports leagues that you love at least postponing for right now. So, in the words of Tua Tagovailoa, so what, now what? How do we take this? How do we move forward? And what's the next step? That's the most difficult part of all of this, is trying to figure out how we got to where we are and what it means for the sports that we love moving forward. Because here's a reality not a lot of people want to hear about. But the reality is there. We may not have games to talk about, not just for days, not just for months. There is a legitimate concern that we won't have games to talk about for months. I mean, you are talking substantial lengths of time where the very thing that you go to escape from everything, the very thing that gives you your opportunity to forget about the world, sports, entertainment, the thing that gives you your release is gone. Through all of it, I won't stop trying to at least give us the information we need. And I'll stress to you, find people you trust, read what they say, and try and form educated opinions on what's going on. It'll help you deal with everything that we're looking at. In the meantime, Will Cain's going to come up next. If I know anything, he's going to keep the coverage coming, and it will be great. He'll cover more of the coronavirus and the effect on the sports world. Thanks for hanging out with us. Be sure to check out the First Take, Your Take podcast also.